Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you for bringing about victory over your enemies and your church's enemies. Thank you, Lord, for the victory you've already bought and paid for. We appreciate it so much. We ask that you keep your saints' mind in faith for the victory that you've already won. You said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Thank you so much, Father. Well, I'm going to continue with Preserved from the Beast. This will be 17. Deb Horton just received by faith at random for the morning prayer meeting, Proverbs 25 and 4. We'll call it 4 through 5 for context. Take away the dross from the silver, and there cometh forth a vessel for the refiner. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Well, Deb said, I have a note here from one of your teachings that says, Judas restraineth. Well, the text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 8, speaks of the falling away, revealing the sons of perdition. And of course, we can see that today. As the falling away happens, the sons of perdition are being revealed. Who restraineth, there's the word that she used, who restraineth the coming of the Lord for his body, until he be come out of the midst. That's what the numeric pattern says. The son of perdition has to come out of the body through the falling away and be revealed before the Lord will come for his people. God is sanctifying a body of its Judases to be prepared to receive him. This is happening before the tribulation for the man, child, and bride, and during the tribulation for the church. It's a confirmation for the revelations that we're going to share. We pray that the faction will pay attention to God's intentions towards them unless they repent. Amen. Okay, we're going to start with Eve Brass' revelation called Factious Dogs in the Deep State and Church Rounded Up and Euthanized. Yeah. I dreamed that I was in a huge warehouse that had many different sections and at least three levels. As we will see, the Father not only stores up provision for his people in his warehouse, but also judgment is stored up for the wicked. Romans 2 and 5 says, But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up or storeth up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So the ground level of this warehouse represents this earth and the earthly happenings. The second level represents the spirit realm, where the directives are handed down from the Father and also from the intercessions of his saints to the angels, who are the law enforcers and who carry out the directives of the bride and of the man-child. Psalm 103, 20 and 21. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Amen. And she said, I was standing on the cement ground floor with a 7-foot-tall, very muscular policeman at my right side, who was dressed in a navy blue policeman's uniform. He had a silver badge on the right side of his uniform pocket, even though he was dressed as a beat cop. I knew in the dream that he was a police detective. This police detective represents the angels that carry out and enforce God's directives according to His word and His will. On the ground floor of the warehouse was a veterinary medical bay in the back left corner with exam tables and IVs set up, along with IV catheters and syringes for lethal injections for euthanasia. In front of that was a large chain link fence containment or holding area. This lethal injection could also be representative of the vaccines that are putting many of the deep state minions to death through the side effects. And we've heard that many arrests of deep state individuals are taking place currently, and that they are being questioned and held awaiting military tribunals and being sentenced to be put to death. Our parallel runs true because many of the factious in the church leadership are also being arrested for spiritual child trafficking and crimes against God's children. The actively factious in the church will also be put to death through lethal injection. And, of course, for many, this will be the jab. Because, of course, they're killing God's children. I asked the police officer where we were, what I was seeing, and what was going on. He began explaining everything to me. It was dark on the ground floor of the warehouse, except in the veterinary bay, which had some very limited lighting capabilities. And she asked this question. She said, could this take place on a grand scale during the 10 days of darkness, when all the power is cut off and the EBS is enabled to expose all the deep state evil crimes against humanity? Yeah, it's possible. On the political side, they are rounding up these people and executing many. And my thought was also God is using their own spike proteins to take down these people as he said he would. Probably almost 5 years ago now. As the police officer began explaining, I had a vision of the second floor of the warehouse, which was very well lit. There were many offices and cubicles with law enforcement support personnel talking on phones and typing on computers and doing all kinds of office work. It was busy and bustling. Yes, because they're going after these people. I asked the officer what all the bustle was about, and he said, a directive has been handed down from the top to round up all the dogs, unquote. And Eve said these dogs represent the faction in the Babylonish deep state and the religious faction that have conspired to crucify the righteous, just as it was with Jesus. And of course, Judas was guilty and was executed. Prophesying about David, Jesus, and the man-child's persecutions, we are told in Psalm 22:12-22. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. This was, of course, the religious leaders in the time of Jesus who persecuted him and were factious against him, even though he was, at the very least, in the sight of the people, a great prophet. But they sought occasion, as usual, and they slandered him, as usual, and so on. They gape upon me with their mouth as a ravening and roaring lion. Verse 13. Number 16. For dogs have compassed me, a company of evildoers have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. Verse 20. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. So there's the dogs. The dogs are those that persecuted Jesus. And, of course, the bulls were over the cows of religion, and they persecuted Jesus, and they did it to David, and they do it to the man-child, too. History just repeats. Then I saw the woman in charge of carrying out this directive. The woman represents the bride who, in Esther as a type, is given authority by the king, representing Father God, to put Haman and his sons to death, as well as all the other enemies who have lifted up their hands against her to kill her and her people. Amen. The things that have been are the things that shall be, right? She had a lot of authority from the top and was in charge of the second floor and all the law enforcement personnel. She was a thin woman with very straight hair that was shoulder length, and she was standing in the middle of it, all dressed in a woman's business suit with her arms folded. And he puts, this woman is thin because she has gotten rid of all her excess flesh. Her hair is straight, representing submission to Jesus, the Word, which is the straight and narrow way. Amen. She said, occasionally I saw her bring out her right arm and point off into the distance with her pointer finger, and I would see many law enforcement personnel, that's the angels, going around the city and rounding up large groups of all different sizes and breeds of dogs. They would put them in the temporary holding areas until they could be transported to the warehouse. I was not able to see the third level of the warehouse. That's because it's in heaven. The bride is dressed in a business suit because she is about her Father's business, just as Jesus was, and commanding the angels as she sees and discerns the Father's will. Hebrews 1:13 and 14 says, but of which of the angels hath he said at any time, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? So the saints, the sanctified ones, are the ones who have the right to send the angels, right? But the head of the bride is also the man-child, who is shown in all the scriptures to take down the factious Edomites. A Christian brother had a dream years ago where the Lord quoted this text to speak of the David man-child in whom Jesus lives, Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch, there's the branch known in the scriptures, it's the branch in these days that God is raising up, which is the man-child. A branch out of his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. So he's deciding by the Spirit, right? But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall, listen to this, smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. And anyway, this brother had a dream that he had come up to me, David, representing, of course, the Davids. And he said, "You remind me of someone that I just read about." And then he quoted this verse, Isaiah 11, 1 through 5, meaning, of course, that the Davids are the man-childs, are these people. So he went on to say, "Suddenly I felt a dark presence behind me, and I turned around to see a large black dog the size of a Great Dane. This great dog is a factious person we know, and also is the same factious man in the warehouse dream below this. Its ears were clipped like a Doberman pincher." I mean, it doesn't have ears to hear like most. "I asked the police officer what it was doing, and he said, 'Some of them are turning themselves in because there is nowhere left to go and no other choice,'" unquote. So they're coming under the authority of these angels for destruction because of their great sins. They have no other choice. "It came into the warehouse through a large open bay door and was turning itself in to the authorities because the Roundup campaign was so wide and far-reaching that there was nowhere else for it to go. None of the dogs realized that a death sentence was decreed for them, and some were turning themselves in hopes of leniency. Well, hopefully some may repent and be saved before they die, but there is no other hope than this, that they will die. We've had many dreams about different factious people who died, and we've had that for many years, since actually 2011 we've gotten those." Okay, so this is just a confirmation of what we've already known. "When I turned back around, I saw many kinds of dogs in the fenced holding area in front of the veterinary bay, and then my vision became telescopic, and I zoomed in on a Chinese Shih Tzu dog that was being held down on one of the exam tables, and they were injecting it with a lethal injection. It was panicked and flailing and yelping in fear. And then I woke up." According to Wikipedia, Shih Tzus are highly independent dogs due to their independent nature. They are not considered the most obedient breed. Of course, this is due to self-will and rebellion that they will lose their lives. Speaking about the factions in the church and the state, the Chinese have described their head shapes as owl head and lion head, and their mouth as frog mouth. The name comes from the Chinese language word for lion, because this kind of dog was bred to resemble the lion. Satan is described as a roaring lion, and lions are described as predators in the Bible. Howard Pittman saw a vision of demonic frog spirits coming out of people who were in lust and fornication, just like these people. Okay. She said, I asked Father for a word for this dream by faith at random, and my finger landed on the phrase, the king's business, in Esther 9 and 3. I laughed when I saw where my finger landed because of the woman dressed in the business suit in this dream. God has such a sense of humor. Esther 9 and 3, in context 1 through 5. Now in the 12th month, which is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution. Uh-oh, there's that word. We'll see that again. On the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have rule over them, whereas it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. And so it will be with the Christians. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hands on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them was fallen upon all the peoples. And all the princes of the provinces and the satraps and the governors and they that did the king's business, there it is, helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai means little man or man-child, because the fear of Mordecai was fallen upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went forth throughout all the provinces, for the man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. And the Jews smote all their enemies, including Haman, with the stroke of the sword, who was hung, by the way, with slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto them that hated them. And she said, this dream reminds me of a past dream that I had about the apostates being rounded up and put to death in another warehouse. And that was called Apostates Killed by the Plague. Eve Brast, 12:14-17. I dreamed that I was again in the operating room, and an apostate factious man, who was also in the dream above, symbolized by the Great Dane, was in front of me, holding the unsterile D&C curette with which, in the previous dream, he was attempting to kill or abort Christ in me, typed as a baby in the womb. This is what the factious do. They put to death Christ in you. Their nature before and after their faction is very clear. It goes from Christ to Antichrist. And they do this to their victims with slander and witchcraft demons, if you sit and listen to them instead of obey the Word of God. But this time the surroundings of the operating room morphed into a large gray metal warehouse. The man's face changed to bewilderment as he realized that he was surrounded by people packed shoulder to shoulder inside this warehouse with him. Well, a warehouse is a place where things are stored for later use. And God declares that the factious, who are judgmental and do what they falsely accuse others of, store up, as in a warehouse, for themselves the wrath of God. Romans 2:1-8 declares this. Wherefore thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that practice such things. And reckonest thou this, O man, who judgest them that practice such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest, or storest, up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works. To them that by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation. Very clear. Suddenly I was caught up in the spirit to the ceiling of the warehouse. I believe this is a type of ascending into heavenly places in Christ, above all the wickedness, where all the needs are supplied by abiding in Christ. Because Ephesians 1 and 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, which is where? In Christ. As we abide in Christ and we abide in his word, we have every spiritual blessing. So the factious apostate man began to look all around in a panic because I had vanished before his eyes. Yes, she was a victim, and she escaped. And notice that Eve, possibly a type of the bride of the last Adam, Jesus, was hidden, just like in Pam's revelation in part 1, where the Lord said, hear this, Tell my people to hide themselves even as you are now hiding. It is disease I am sending. Only you who truly believe in my saving power will be safe from this pestilence. For it does not originate from this earth. Many people now drawing breath will be dead in a few short months. We spoke in the last broadcast about the alien technology and the creatures that were hatching from eggs, from the so-called vaccines that were seen in the blood. For goodness sake, it's crazy. And these alien creatures, alien-looking creatures, multiply until they take over the body and especially the mind. As I looked down in the spirit, I was aware that all the people in the warehouse were apostates and had been gathered there for judgment. Well, an apostate is someone who has fallen away from the covenant as it was given. Men have added to and taken from the eternal covenant and taught others to do so. And these, of course, are under a curse of the plagues in Revelation 22, 18, and 19. I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life, and out of the holy city, which is the bride, which are written in this book. So some are going to miss the bride, some are going to miss life eternal. Some say that can't happen, but Jesus said differently right here. So those who have eaten the whole Passover lamb, which represents having our minds renewed with the true original word and believing in the blood of the covenant that Jesus shed to save and to heal us from the curse on sinners, will escape the plagues. They'll escape the plagues. Galatians 3 and 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Deuteronomy 28, of course, recounts the curse of the law, and it's just about everything that comes against mankind because of sin. But it says that Jesus bore this curse upon himself. It goes on to say, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, which it means a cross, right? Exodus 12 and 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month you shall take to them every man a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at even. And they shall take of the blood and put it on the two side posts and on the lintel upon the houses wherein they shall eat it. They shall walk, this is of course an interpretation, but they shall walk under the blood of the sacrifice by faith, right? In and out under the lintel of the door. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast with fire. And that represents the fiery trials that we go through to manifest Christ, right? Its head, meaning the mind of Christ, who was the Lamb, with its legs, meaning the walk of Christ, who was the Lamb, and with the inwards, the heart of Christ, which was the Lamb, thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. But that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. This is, of course, meaning that it will be wasted because the destroyer is on his way. It will be wasted. They had to get rid of it. They had to devour it, right? And lots of people aren't doing that now. They don't. Christ is the Word, and they're not partaking of all the Word, so they're not taking those benefits which are in the Word. Verse 11, thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, ready to leave Egypt, is what this is all about. They're all prepared to eat it, right? And you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. This is the Passover of the death angel. For I will go through the land of Egypt in that night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. So the Lord is taking credit for this, even though he uses people to speak the word or give the prophecy or the revelation like Eve just gave, right? It's the Lord taking credit for this. He's behind it. And the firstborn in the land of Egypt represents the firstborn is the fleshly man. That's the firstborn. You have to be born once before you can be born twice, right? Born again. That's the spiritual man. So this is the fleshly man, the man who walks after the flesh. Paul said, if you walk after the flesh, you must die. So many of the lost and unbelieving Christians shall die too, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And there shall be no plague upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. That's the firstborn man, the man of flesh, right? The fleshly person, right? And when he seeth the blood on the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. So we know that many considered themselves to be under the blood falsely. Hebrews 10:26 and 27 says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more a sacrifice for sins," which is what? The blood. They don't have the blood who sin willfully when they know the truth. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment is coming, you see, and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. The adversaries are these people who are willfully rebellious against God. All at once, I saw hundreds, maybe even a thousand, small, transparent or unseen coral snakes that were red, black, and yellow. Well, the coral snake has been known as the deadliest snake in North America. It paralyzes your nervous system with the lungs and other organs, shutting down in as little as a couple of hours. They have enough venom to kill five people, but their delivery system isn't that good. Small fangs, which they use to chew on a person until they get enough venom into them. And this represents an injection of a euthanizing agent. Yeah. So they were falling like light snow would, like a plague or a pestilence sprayed from the sky, huh? Yeah. And descending upon the wicked people to bite them and take their lives. Numbers 21 and 6 says, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents." These are called the fiery flying serpent in Isaiah 30 and 6. "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died," who were, of course, in willful disobedience and didn't have the sacrifice of the blood. "The people began to scream and cry out when they realized what was happening." Well, if the transparent coral venom were spread from the sky or spiritually from heaven, like the spike protein chemtrails, which can penetrate the skin, it would be an extremely deadly delivery system, possibly like what A.A. Allen saw in his revelation, to major population centers. Now, this coral venom sounds like the plague in Pam's revelation, where there was no antidote. And the Lord said to Pam in part one, "No one will have the remedy. I will laugh at the mighty men as they run futilely for their holes. Tell the internet readers to forget their word searches, etc. There is no remedy but me and only me." Wow. Now, how can you say that? I believe that this means that no remedy can be counted on to save from this but God's. Oh, well, we've seen people trying to save themselves with all the methods that are actually what's killing them. He is in control over who lives and who dies, and no vaccine can circumvent or stop him. The condition for immunity to plagues is stated clearly in Exodus 15 and 26. And he said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his eyes, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, that's the fleshly, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So there's a condition. Deuteronomy 32 and 39 says, see now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. Oh, you think that the deep state and their depopulation plague can deliver you out of God's hand? It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Yeah. Well, like the coral venom, COVID-19 and its spike protein variants are a lung disease that cuts off breath. COVID-19 by itself is really nothing. You know, it's all the other stuff that they're throwing at you. So now we have the coral venom and the plague coming from the sky or from heaven, meaning it could be sent from heaven, right? So there's two choices there, right? So add to this the fact that the chemtrails are a practiced delivery system that brings lung disease all over the nation. The hospitals are full of people with pneumonia-type symptoms that they are now labeling COVID-19. Again, in the spirit, I saw what looked like snowflakes beginning to fall through the ceiling of the warehouse, Eve said. Then the snakes appeared and fell on the people with the snow. So, she said, the poison with snow could represent the pestilence that comes from the sky by the hand of God in chemtrails for judgment in the wintertime. That's possible. Maybe the people were repenting when they were crying out as the snakes landed on them. Well, we know some will repent, but most won't. This does not mean that they're going to escape death, though. We have a revelation on the site about the evil snow. We saw snow here that was made up of tiny capsules, little tiny capsules, looking things that were not flakes. And fire did not melt it. You could put flame on it. It put black smudge on it, but it did not melt it. Tell me now, how could they make such a thing that from a distance looks like snow, but it's really not? When you walk up and look at it very closely, you can see clearly it is not. What are these capsules and what's in these little capsules? Then I woke up and asked Father for a word concerning this continuation dream and received by faith at random Jeremiah 9:23, in context 21 through 26. And my finger was on, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. You see how people are out there glorying because, oh, I got the shot. Did you get the shot? What's wrong with you? Are you crazy? Yeah. 21. For death has come up into our windows. It has entered into our palaces to cut off the children from without. This is by faith at random. Don't say it doesn't work. And the young men from the streets. Speak thus saith the Lord. The dead bodies of men shall fall as dung upon the open field. That's like A.A. Allen's revelation, too. And as the handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them. Well, no, they don't want to touch them because this stuff goes right through your skin. Right? 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, because God is able to take them all down. That's why he's warning. All right? 25. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will punish all them that are circumcised in their uncircumcision. In other words, he will punish the apostates who sow flesh. 26. Egypt and Judah and Edom, and the children of Ammon and Moab, and all that have the corners of their hair cut off, that dwell in the wilderness. For all the nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. Wow. Judgment on the uncircumcised. Uncircumcised in heart, meaning they haven't forsaken the flesh. They haven't cut off the flesh. They're still sowing and reaping flesh, right? So here's one given to us or sent to us by Joshua on 10/13/21. He received this. We called it, "His angels shall gather out of his kingdom all that cause stumbling." Ooh. And Joshua said, quote, "About 2 or 3 months ago, I had a bizarre dream. I can't forget it, and it keeps coming to my mind." Unquote. "I dreamed that I was in a small, dark, derelict classroom in the Far East. It was very dimly lit by indirect light coming from weak light bulbs or candlelight." Well, derelict means delinquent, slack, irresponsible, lax, undependable, unreliable, etc. And this classroom represents the Genghis Khan spirit, deception in the deep state church and the government, which we will discuss in the following revelations. Okay, so he is teaching in the Far East, and he is has very little light. Keep that in mind. "In the room were 2 Asian children, about 10 years of age or so. And according to BibleStudy.org, the number 10 signifies testimony, law, responsibility, and the completeness of order." So he went on to say, "I," meaning Joshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. Yeah. "I was in the room as a teacher." Well, the man-child will teach many the truth and the good news of the gospel during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And even those under that are coming out from under the spirit that we're going to talk about, Genghis Khan, or the dragon, if you will. "In my hands was the album from the satanic hard rock band Black Sabbath. It was their first album, also titled Black Sabbath. I have never listened to that album, and I have never been a fan of Black Sabbath at all." Well, I think that this represents a very dark, evil entity in the world. It probably, by its name, represents those in darkness under the law, even. And as we will see, this Black Sabbath represents those ruled by principalities and powers in heaven and on earth. And Joshua went on to say, "I and the Asian children were looking at it, and I was identifying it as satanic." So the man-child will teach God's elect the difference between good and evil, between what is leavened and worldly and what is unleavened and heavenly. I think this dream is about to happen. The Satanists of the deep state, elite, and the faction in the church have killed multitudes with their evil. The deep state are invading the southern border with enemies right now, and shooting has begun. Yes. And there are militia people running down there to try to defend the border because, the deep state refuses to do that. In fact, they're bringing them in as they've brought others in. and in fact arming them. Suddenly there was a very loud roar of a rushing wind. The sound was distorting my hearing. But strangely, nothing was being blown. But the shaking was distinct and could be felt. In the dream, I understood that this is God's judgment falling. Well, this could represent the end-time revival that is going to fall upon God's people, as well as the storm of judgment that is falling upon the deep state in the church and in the state. And remember that it's in darkness, and we're talking about now, they are talking about now, having 3 days of darkness and 10 days of darkness. And I think during the 10 days of darkness, they're going to be rounding deep state people up. Okay, so. Then the album instantly disappeared from my hands. Did you hear that? So this album that represented this evil disappeared, instantly disappeared from his hands. And I was left there standing with the children, and we were trying to remember what we were doing. Like when you walk into a room for a purpose and then forget what you went in there for. Well, with the spiritual warfare backing by people of faith, the Alliance is doing a pretty masterful job, I would say, of removing many and prosecuting them in military tribunals. And what we're hearing is that the militaries of the Alliance are continuing the job of draining this swamp. They've been practicing and will agree to make a fake World War III. I'm seeing signs of that out there, arguments that are going on between nations like Russia and the United States, and steps towards war are being taken, but I don't believe it's going to happen. I believe it's going to be an excuse for them to gather together, the militaries. However, I believe that they will go after the remaining deep state governments and people. But the job is huge, and without God, it can't be done. They have a plan to do it, but without God, it can't be done. What we have heard is that the Man-Child is coming to fight the Edomite factions and drive them out as David did in Scripture. So the one that's going to push this on through is the one with authority over the angels, Jesus, in the Man-Child. You think that's astounding? Well, I do too. But I also believe it's going to happen. Okay, there was absolutely no trace or memory of the album. Whoa, so that's what it was for it to disappear so suddenly, that this evil has been taken from the earth. Who could do that? There are so many evil people out there. Who could do that? Now, we're not talking about your common, everyday evil person. We're talking about people that are extremely evil in the church and in the government, and they're factious, they're hateful, they are murderers, etc. So he went on to say there was absolutely no trace or memory of the album. It was like the evil had been supernaturally removed without the slightest disturbance or speck left over. And then I woke up. Well, they will suddenly be like a distant memory, gone away without a trace, because I'm telling you, they're wiping them out because of their very deep and horrendous sins, like we've been telling you the church, the faction in the church has. Same thing, same demons. So God has promised to utterly destroy the deep state in the church and government. He has promised to utterly destroy Babylon, that entity which is in the United States. I thought of verses like Proverbs 2 and 21, he says, "For the upright shall live in the land, and the blameless shall remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it." What an astounding thing. It will take supernatural action, like I was saying, to really finish this and accomplish this. And he also thought of Matthew 13 and 41. "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom." This is the Judases we've been talking about. "Out of his kingdom, all things that cause stumbling, and them that do iniquity." Oh, praise God. He is sanctifying a body. So if, he goes on to say, Joshua goes on to say, "If God's judgment falls soon and in this way, I'll be thankful if the evil and the minions of evil are removed." Amen. Amen. So here we have another one. And this was another part, Genghis Khan, Spirit of Deception in the Church, number one. Okay, this is Eve Brass, 1225, 2011. That's when the faction that year, the previous part of that year, first broke out. Here. "In a dream, I saw many people being deceived by a much more powerful and deceptive evil principality called a Genghis Khan spirit. It will be worse than the false revival Kundalini Eastern spirit." I agree, it definitely is. Genghis Khan was the Mongol who led legions of demon-possessed men to conquer most of Eurasia by the edge of the sword, massacring whole populations, about 40 million people. That's what these people do. I mean, these depopulation people, both in the church and in the state, they massacre people. They're doing it now. And most Christians who are totally reluctant to walk by faith in God are walking by faith in man, and it's killing them. Just as God said it would. The factious in the church and state are eugenicists, just like this. Genghis is still worshipped by many in Mongolia, so he could represent here a religious spirit. And no doubt that this is a spirit that will bring spiritual death, conquering multitudes of Christians, like the Kundalini spirit's false revival did. This new factious spirit conquers people by sword or words, written or spoken, which makes it much more dangerous than the Kundalini spirit, which was mostly imparted by laying on of hands. So these words are in the form of unforgiveness, bitterness, backstabbing, criticism, slander, gossip, railing, lying, perversion, witchcraft, and yes, voodoo. Because that's what they do, those spirits they use to go against people that they hate, usually good people. They don't ever turn this on evil people. So, I was shaking my head in disappointment as I watched the people act like they were in love with this spirit. It was like a worldwide orgy. Yeah, you know, when the man-child came, peace was taken from the earth. It was a world war happening, right? The true people of God who stay with the truth of his word, she says, won't be overtaken, even with this deception. This is all that I was shown. Well, we've been shown many times that this is a worldwide attack on the saints by apostates. The corporate beast spirit from the abyss is coming forth to enter the sons of perdition, the Judases, and use them to conquer and make war on the true Christians. Revelation 17 and 8 says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and is come up out of the abyss, and to go into perdition." Now remember, in the book of Revelation, those are corporate bodies. The beast is a corporate body of people. And what's coming out of the abyss is a corporate body of demons to inhabit people who are sons of perdition. "And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, they whose name hath not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast, how that he was, and is not, and shall come," or shall be present, one or the other. So as the word says, a great falling away to strong delusion is coming very fast, and happening pretty much. I asked the Father what this Genghis Khan spirit was, or what it represented. And when I opened my Bible, my finger was on 1 John 2, 2, 2. That's 2:22. That's the number of division, right? "Who is the liar but who denieth that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, even who denieth the Father and the Son." Well, we know who will deny the Father and the Son. Let me say this. Antichrist spirits always deny the true Jesus and Word. And the rest of this text tells us the whole story. 1 John 2 and 18 says, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you heard that Antichrist cometh, and even now have there arisen many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last hour." Antichrist is not an individual. If you will read in the Bible, look up every place it's stated, you will see that it is a corporate body. Yes, just like all the rest of the entities in the book of Revelation. But the people that go to Bible school are not going to be able to tell you that. "They went out from us." Watch. They. What's he talking about? Antichrist. "They went out from among us, and they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they all are not of us." By the way, when they go out, they're mad, they're angry, they're cursing, they're lying, they're slandering, etc. That's how they do it. You don't have to tell them to go. It hits them and the dumbest stuff comes out of their mouth. Okay? As you've seen on TV, the people in the deep state are in the state who are railing, and you ask them, what did he do? Well, notice that many antichrists in this last hour will separate from us because they do not belong with the true church due to their corrupt, leavened nature. In this they deny the Father and the Son, verse 22, because they deny the true word given from the beginning in order to abide in Christ, which is eternal life. Here it is, 24. "As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning," which is written in the Word, right? "If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father." So when you disobey the Word, who are you denying? The Father and His Son. "And this is the promise which he promised us, even the life eternal. These things have I written unto you concerning them that would lead you astray." Okay, now here's a follow-up on this, Eve's brass dream, We called it Genghis Khan, Spirit of Deception in the Government. The first one was in the church. This is in the government, number two. Okay? And it was 12/29/2011. In the dream above, I saw many Christians being deceived by a very powerful and deceptive evil principality called a Genghis Khan spirit. I had seen this, that this spirit is manifesting in the factious who kill by the sword of slander, and now below I am seeing it also is taking over a beast government. Yes, it's true. We were shocked when we saw it in the government breaking out everywhere, you know, because we'd already dealt with it in the church since 2011. Well, there's always been a beast government to back up the factious religious government. Jesus' time was a good example of this. I had seen a cleansing of the true church by this spirit rising up in apostates to separate them from the man, child, and bride. But also now, in the revelation below, I see a global shift and transfer of secular governmental power in the spirit realm to this Genghis Khan spirit. As I was laying down to sleep, I asked the Father to show me more about the Genghis Khan spirit in a dream or a vision. And as I was laying in bed praying in the Spirit, he gave me this vision on 12/29/11. I was high above the earth, looking down from a southern viewpoint towards the north at the Asian continent where Russia and China are. It was dark upon the earth. We're coming to darkness, right? Suddenly, I saw something dark rising up from beneath the Asian continent, from the center where Mongolia is located. That's where Genghis Khan came from, right? The spirit told me that Mongolia is the opening of the womb between the two legs of Russia and China. And this spirit is rising up in and coming forth from them. It's a black rose, its back rose out first, hunched, kind of like a mountain. And then its head and shoulders came out, bowed down towards the east. Then its arms and finally its legs. It stayed kneeling down on one knee towards the east, bracing itself with its arms and hands. One on Russia and the other on China. Similar to the stance runners have at the start of a race. Well, this Genghis Khan spirit is a spiritual type of a conquering beast spirit ruling in the world and in the church faction. They are slaughterers, as we've had many dreams about them slaughtering the children. Okay, it had a human form with sharp nails on its fingers, pointed ears, and a bald head. Heaven gave it permission to raise its head and take its first breath. And as it opened its mouth and drew in a large breath, some more stars were sucked into its mouth from the night sky, along with the breath it inhaled. Well, we know the dragon beast drew a third of the stars of heaven, represented by the seed of Abraham, to the earth. That's the great falling away that we've been talking about here. The precursor mark in the vaccines is doing this too, by changing DNA. It's changing people's minds. It's perverting their minds with DNA. And with the spike proteins and these creatures that look like aliens, you know, taking over the mind by an external stimulus, like an app on a cell phone or an app on a computer. That's how they do it. And this is proven. This is not crazy stuff here. This is actually proven. I could see very sharp top and bottom canine teeth. Well, just as the secular beast has physical power to devour the saints, so does the religious beast have spiritual power to devour the saints. Psalm 37 and 12 says, "The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth." And in 57 and 4, "My soul is among lions. I lie among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." Amen. Well, you know, Daniel put his trust in God, and he was thrown in the lion's den, and he was spared completely. What a testimony it gave to them. Well, this spirit was very black with many stars in it, which means got Abraham's seed, which are as the stars of heaven. And they're falling by the work of the spirit. This changing of the DNA is to humble people to the deep state and to bring them against like the faction, Christianity. It looked like the mirror image of the night sky inside of it. It didn't stand up, but if it had, the earth under its feet would have looked like a large beach ball. It was gigantic. Genghis Khan is a world-conquering spirit of the beast in the secular realm, just as it is in the religious realm. Genghis was a merciless murderer of men, like factious, and like slander, is a murderer of souls. I later asked the Father for a verse for this vision of the Genghis Khan spirit, and my finger fell on Ezekiel 21:24. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered, in that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your doings your sins do appear, because that you are come to remembrance, you shall be taken with the hand." So notice that there's no covering for unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, retaliation, which is the very nature of those who have this spirit, and God does not forgive or forget their sins for this reason, very clearly. As Jesus said, he will not forgive those who do not forgive. So in verse 11 and 12 of this text, God says, "The sword, quote, is upon all the princes of Israel," unquote. You know, you couldn't convince these people that they are going to be judged. So, meaning the apostate leadership of God's people, they hold more responsibility for what they do. They claim they know the word of God, and yet they don't live it. Verse 25, "And thou, O deadly, wounded, wicked one, the prince of Israel, whose day is come, in the time of the iniquity of the end." So this applies to the church of that day and the church of this day. "Thus saith the Lord, remove the mitre and take off the crown. This shall be no more the same. Exalt that which is low and abase that which is high." So this is clear that this spirit is an apostate leadership of God's people in the end, and that they will be spiritually wounded and lose their crown, being removed from their high position over any true people of God. Thank you, Lord. These people are guilty of the blood of the saints. They have not told them the truth that saves, delivers, covers, etc., heals, etc. They have not told the truth. When I read the last part of this scripture, the Spirit brought to my remembrance what Mary, who brought forth the man-child, said. Luke 1 and 51 and 52. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down princes from their thrones, and he hath exalted them of low degree. In other words, humble people. So, again, this is spoken of the removal of the apostates over the true people of God by the coming of the man-child ministry. That's who Mary brought forth, right? As the next part of the vision shows. So, right after this, I saw the upper half of a giant woman in the heavens with long blonde hair and very fair skin, cradling a newborn with golden hair in her right arm. Well, I believe that this is the worldwide woman, the true church, having brought forth the man-child ministry, like Mary. Well, light from heaven was shining down upon them. And she says, I only saw her profile and the top of the newborn's head. She was also facing east, which is, of course, towards the coming of the sun, right? Looking down at her baby, her white garment lowered off of her right shoulder in preparation to nurse him. And a clear vial filled with golden oil appeared without hands and poured oil onto the infant's mouth and onto the woman's right breast. Then she brought the baby to her breast to nurse him. Well, this man-child will partake of the oil and the gold of heaven. And the anointing and the nature of Jesus is what that represents. I asked the Father for a verse concerning the vision of the woman, and my finger fell on Psalm 128 and 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the innermost part of thy house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Well, this whole psalm is pretty awesome. God will prosper the woman church to bear fruit in the wilderness, in spite of the dragon of Genghis Khan trying to destroy her and her man-child. Escaping this evil is for them a Passover of the destroyer before leaving Egypt for the wilderness. It is the man-child escaping the dragon which is trying to devour them. Amen. So these two events seem again to be happening almost simultaneously or very close together, but they are both under the Father's sovereign control. Claire also had a recent dream about the Mongolian beast kingdom. And here's a portion of it that we'll share. She got this on 6-1-21. And we called it the Mongolian beast kingdom. I dreamed of Mongolia all night. The word was said over and over in my mind. I believe this represents the Genghis Khan spirit. Now, this is my note here, referenced in the dream above. And in the dream, I was traveling there. Where to? Mongolia. Well, she was going into a revelation of the governmental form of this beast. Okay? I was talking to British generals. They were dressed in black and red military uniforms and explaining to me why they had named it Mongolia. Well, black and red are the colors of anarchy. Let me say, factious people are anarchists. They rebel against true authority. They break all laws, as the faction in the church and the faction in the government. They break all laws. That's what anarchy does. And it's also the colors of the dragon beast. Then I was talking to a blonde woman who had adopted boys from Mongolia and wanted to place them in the right grade. Well, this could represent the bride in Eve's revelation above, who not only gives birth to the man-child company, but also nourishes God's elect who come out of this beast system. And we praise God, and we pray constantly for a revival that will bring multitudes out of this beast system. She said, then I was talking with Rian about how to get there, and we decided motorbikes would be best. And then I woke up. Well, motorbikes have two wheels, and they require balance and forward movement in order to ride them, in order to keep them up, right? The same as the Christian life. Balance and bearing fruit, or forward movement, right? And they also represent having an eye that is single. You know, their headlight, right? They have an eye that is single and full of light. Representing sanctification. And this is the best way to have God's provision and protection against this beast. So they were looking for the best way to travel, and they found it. That's it. It's interesting that Genghis Khan established the Mongol Empire in 1206, which became the largest entirely connected or contiguous empire in history. It occupied approximately 22% of all land on earth. It might well be a type and shadow of the worldwide beast kingdom that we're currently in. So here we got a revelation from Marilyn Klink on 10, 12, and 21. We called it Whitewashed Sepulchres Full of Dead Men's Bones. You remember what Jesus called the apostate leadership, right? Well, I believe that the man-child is going to overrule the deep state politicians and turn this thing in our favor soon. We have been casting down the deep state attempts to delay this thing. The deep state politicians are in white because they want us to believe that they are our benefactors, but they are demon-possessed and antichrist. So here it is. Marilyn said, I dreamed I was in a place like a state or federal capitol building. I saw a few politicians that I recognized, mainly from the Bush family. Well, now everybody considered them right-wing and, but the revelations are coming out that they were quite the opposite. The Bush family were all Republicans, and this could represent the right-wing Republican Party politicians that we're looking at here. The politicians were also dressed mostly in white. There it is. And this representing whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones, hypocrites, people that claim to be righteous and good, but they're far, far from it. And you will find this out very soon. Matthew 23:27-28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And you will discover this very soon when the D-class comes out complete. Some of you already know it, I'm sure, but others will need a revelation. And as I've shared, the deep state Babylonish beast is being conquered by Cyrus, who represented the Medo-Persian beast. So, the beast is just giving way to another beast. I know that some of you don't believe that, but you will. We are merely moving from one beast to another. We are in agreement with Cyrus Trump, in that he is conquering the previous beast who is intent on killing God's people. Trump is using their ill-gotten gains, which he's appropriated, and to build the kingdom. Just as God said Cyrus would in Isaiah 45. The time will come that we will be separated from the New Age people on the right who are representing this beast and tolerate us because that's their purpose, to bring in their 1,000 years of peace, they think. Well, the book of Revelation, which they totally discount as false, is coming instead. And Isaiah 48:22 says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked." Don't matter how holy you act, how righteous you act, if you're not born again, you will have no peace. Forget your 1,000 years. They will be alienated from us because of our strictly Christian stance. Acts 4:12 says, "In none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved." Right. And you know, people get saved by Jesus, which is of course a transliteration, but we know who that is, and they get saved by that name and under that name. And you know, the holy name bunch, just remember, God departed from that in the New Testament, and he departed even from their language in the New Testament, because numerics proves that the New Testament was written in Greek. And the Jesus and the disciples all spoke fluently in Greek, who had conquered the people of God a long time before this. And by the way, that was the world language at that time. So their precursor of the mark, some people say it is the mark, I say it's a precursor of the mark, is turning hearts towards the beast and against us by changing their DNA. In Matthew 24:9, "Then shall they deliver you up unto tribulation and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake." Well, now you see what this change of the DNA, both in this thing they're doing now that they call an inoculation, and in the mark itself. They're going to change people's minds. They're going to take over people's minds and control them. And I saw Jesus dressed in white, sitting in a chair and watching what was going on. The politicians were completely oblivious to the presence of Jesus. Well, the politicians, right and left, overwhelmingly do not serve the one true God, And this is why they are oblivious to his presence. Jesus is always watching. He and the Father are in complete control of all vessels of honor and dishonor. Father uses them all for his purposes and his ends. Isaiah 45, 6 and 7 says, I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things. Jesus then handed me a clipboard with a printed page of writing. I don't remember what was written, but I know that there were three paragraphs, and the first three words of each paragraph were in bold type. I knew that the bold type words were the names of three men, and what followed each of their names was an account of their individual lives and why Jesus had chosen them to be on this list. I think the three men listed on the page were there, but sitting very quiet and humble. So these three men represent the completeness of the man-child reformers whom Jesus is anointing to do his work. The White Hat Alliance leaders and politicians will ultimately fail in their goals because they do not pray to nor worship the one true God and are not on his side. And according to BibleStudy.org, the number three is used 467 times in the Bible, and it pictures completeness, though to a lesser degree than seven. The meaning of this number derives from the fact that it is the first of four spiritually perfect numerals, the others being 7, 10, and 12. The three righteous patriarchs before the flood were Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And after the deluge, there was the righteous fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and later renamed Israel. Or he will rule as God, right? Who is that now? This is the church. He will rule as God. He's given us authority. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven, you see. He will rule as God. So these men were being anointed by Jesus to do his work. Jesus then told me to read what was written on the page. I was told to read aloud. But the politicians were not listening at all. And then I woke up. Well, the whitewashed politicians are not listening to the one true God and his son Jesus. And this is why their plans will fail. In Eve's dream of the Trump-David parallel, it was the man-child David's that showed up for the press conference and ordered the mass arrest of the criminals in the deep state, church, and state. They sent the angels out. Everyone was expecting Trump to make his acceptance speech at the podium, but he never showed up. And guess how this was fulfilled? Well, we believe that this was going to be in reference to the 2020 election that ended up being stolen by the Democrats and the deep state and the faction and so on. I believe this was for the purpose of showing the world the evil of communism. You know why? Because so many kids have gone to college and came out communists, thinking this is the right way, like they never read history. It's a demon spirit. That's why even when they look into history, they say, oh, this time we'll get it right. You know, no, they won't. Because communism always ends the same way, and it always ends with a lot of dead people. So the man-child will be the one to conquer the Edomite factions of church and state and bring all the glory to God and his kingdom. Isaiah 40 and 10. Behold, the Lord will come as a mighty one. There he is, right there. And his arm will rule for him. That's Jesus, whose arm of the Lord been revealed. Jesus, right? Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He has got a judgment coming before him. And his reward is for the bride. I received by faith at random for this dream, Job 20, 19 through 20. Because he hath oppressed and forsaken the poor, because he hath violently taken away a house which he builded not, sounds like the deep state, sounds like all the attempts of the faction in the church, right? Surely he shall not feel quietness in his belly. He shall not save of that which he desired. And the whole chapter speaks of judgment on the wicked. I know Father sees everything. It is such a comfort to believe that nothing is hidden from him, even though the wicked are oblivious and their evil plans mock God. He hears the prayers of his people and is sending his anointed ones in the man-child ministry. And I pray and believe that every day for this, it is not today, then one day, and we're one day closer to fulfillment. Amen. Okay, here's Deb Horton's revelation on 10, 12, and 21. We called it Slander Adversaries Against UBM. Deb said, I had a dream this morning that shows the attack of the slanderers against the Davids and UBM. In a dream, I was shown an intersection of John Dodd Road. She said, this intersection is where I was previously shown the broken traffic light. A broken traffic light sounds like it represents the breakdown in the laws that offer people direction and guidance and keep them from bumping into one another, right? Our government authorities have descended into lawlessness, just like the factious in the church. And they've rejected God's commands in his word. They're ignoring what the Lord is saying. I drive past this intersection on John Dodd Road multiple times on a daily basis. John means the Lord has been gracious. Well, she says, he has certainly been patient with the factious. But according to dictionary.com, Dodd has multiple meanings, which are, quote, to praise or celebrate, to gather together, to seize by or as if by authority, unquote. This sure sounds like the factious, she says. Wikipedia says the surname Dodd may also be derived from the Old English word Didrian, which means deceiver or rascal, or from the word Dodd, D-O-D, which means to make bare or to cut off. Well, I believe that this John Dodd intersection represents a fork in the road that we travel in life, and we can choose the way of grace and repentance and obedience to the Word of God, or we can choose our own self-willed ways and be cut off, like the branches that didn't abide in the vine, who is Jesus. She went on to say, the street to my left was Avanti Street. That's at the same intersection. representing the way of the goats. Jesus put the goats on his left. So this is the street on the left. Avante is Italian for come on, forward, onward, in front. But it's just a short dead-end street that takes you around to the Amazon Warehouse Distribution Center. Amazons were a race of female warriors of Greek mythology. Is a woman going to lead this factious attack? Or does this refer to the Jezebel spirit behind the attacks? Well, of course it does. It does definitely that. A Jezebel spirit can be quite seductive. And it's always against the righteous and always against the righteous leadership. Always. The street to my right was Derrick Road. She said Derrick actually has a Hebrew counterpart. It's the Strong's H1870 meaning, which is road, distance, journey, manner, but it's translated 382 times as way, the way, okay? UBM is guiding people to walk in the way. They called it the way in the book of Acts. There is only one way. Jesus is the way, right? We follow him, you know, to the Father. The meaning of Derrick is power of the tribe, ruler of the people. Okay, that represents the man-child ministries that are coming to take over. A derrick is a hoisting apparatus employing a tackle rigged at the end of a beam. UBM is trying to lift people out of the dirt by feeding them the unleavened bread of the pure word of God, which will wash us whiter than snow. I knew in the dream that the time of day was immediately after sunset when it's getting dark. But you can't still see a few details. And I was looking at the corner of John Dodd and Derrick. Spiritually speaking, it's getting very dark with all the deceptions flying around in order to try to deceive even the elect of God. But they won't succeed because the elect love the truth and are enlightened by the wisdom of God's Holy Spirit that lives in us and guides us into all truth, as Jesus said. And, of course, this brings us his discernment. We're familiar with the voice of the Lord because we're familiar with the Word of God, right? In real life, there is a row of large trees running down John Dodd, and then one large tree just past the corner, turning right onto Derrick. But in the dream, there was a small group of trees of various sizes filling in the corner, representing, she says, UBM local. Trees represent men. True. I saw that there were piles of fresh dirt heaped up in the spaces between the trees. So, she says, the word dirt is slang for scandalous, malicious, or incriminating, gossip, and slander. Yes, slinging dirt, right? They sling dirt. And always, by the way, look all the way through the Bible, always against the righteous. The same wicked people throughout history. And now their seed is with us today. I don't remember if the dirt stopped just before the trees or if any of the trees were touched by the dirt. And I wondered why anyone would do that, because if too much dirt is piled up around a tree, then it girdles the tree, which causes the protective bark to rot and the tree dies. And then I woke up. Well, the factious leaders and their followers have tried for many years to heap up dirt around UBM and kill the ministry and individuals with their lies and slander, but the Lord has said that they will not succeed because this is His ministry and He desires David's house for His dwelling place. Eve said concerning a previous revelation, quote, I asked Father concerning some of David's questions, and one was about David's house. And Father said, speaking to David, do not be anxious or troubled concerning the house. I have desired it for my dwelling place. Now, of course, we're not just talking about a physical house, but a house, meaning a household, meaning your kin, your children, so on and so forth. I asked the Father to give me another word by faith at random concerning the house, and my finger was on Psalm 68:16. Why look ye askance, you high mountains, at the mountain which God hath desired for His abode? Oh, look at that, dead on, huh? Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. And in this case, the house of David is the man-child's house, meaning his heritage and his offspring, right? So, a solid answer. The verse that I received by faith at random this morning after this dream was Jeremiah 51:51. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Confusion hath covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Now, since 2011, the Lord has been getting rid of the strangers in the Lord's house. We've watched it. And they just fall out with the dumbest thing, and then they run off screaming, you know, and slandering, and so on, you know. So this is God doing this. They're strangers. This is the abomination that maketh desolate. That's why God has to get the sons of perdition out of the Lord's house. This is like Eve's dream of the factious dogs' judgment and their shame and executions. Like Edom's blood staining the Lord's garment when He slaughtered them on His return. Which is how? In the man-child. And I asked the Lord a few years ago if He would hit them before they hit us, and got a yes. And here's what came to me. Micah 4:9-13. Now why dost thou cry out loud? Is there no king in thee? Yes, we have a king. Is thy counselor perished, that pangs have taken hold of thee as a woman in travail? What's she in travail with? The man-child. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion. That's the bride. The bride is in the woman who brings forth the man-child, right? Like a woman in travail. That's the man-child coming, right? For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and shalt dwell in the field, and shalt come even unto Babylon. There shalt thou be rescued. There will the Lord redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. And now many nations are assembled against thee that say, let her be defiled. And let our eyes see our desire upon Zion. Ah, but the Lord says, but they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they His counsel, for He hath gathered them as the sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thy horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many peoples, and I will devote their gain unto the Lord. Is he not doing that? Yes, he is. He's bringing that reward. He's bringing the plunder from the deep state. Their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. What an awesome revelation here. Well, Father, this has been proven to us. This whole revelation from top to bottom has been proven to us for some years now. We've seen it repeated over and over and over. And every time it's repeated, your body here, I'm sure, as in larger UBM, gets cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. Praise be to God. The leaven is being cast out, as 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 5 commands us to do. However, we don't even have to do it with these people because they're very vicious in their accusations. And everything that they accuse you of, they are doing. That's right. And you'd think, nobody's that hypocritical. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. It's amazing and astounding. God does not leave these people without a mark. And this is their mark. And they don't even recognize it looking from the inside out. But everybody looking from the outside in who still has one little piece of common sense left, they can see that. These people will not sit down and debate with you anything. They will run quickly. They will not talk scripture. If you talk scripture, you'll be all by yourself because they're not going to talk scripture because they can't stand it because they have no conscience. This is a demon possession. Humans couldn't possibly become this evil this fast. This is a demon possession. And if there's anybody on the face of the earth that deserves the judgment that's been spoken of in this, it's them. And when I say them, I'm talking about both the faction in the church and in the deep state. It is them. You wouldn't believe the proof that we have of their thefts, of their fornications. I'm talking about, it didn't matter which time some leader rose up. It was every time these people were thieves, liars, slanderers, fornicators, would not obey the word of God, which keeps peace in the church. Jesus made rules that kept peace and it broke it every time, willfully disobedient every time. Cannot obey the word. And so we pray for them because we know this is a supernatural reprobation. Supernatural. Nobody can become that way without a lot of help, and they're getting it from those demons. So, Father, we know that this is a warning, maybe a last warning, of what you're going to do with these people if they do not repent. And Lord, they're very proud, especially against me, who they have accused, because I'm the one they want to overthrow, or the demons in them want to overthrow the most. I'm the one they like to accuse the most. They're very proud and very arrogant and not willing to sit down and reason scripture or even reason, you know, not willing to do that. Lord, it's going to take a deliverance for any that you choose to save from the foundation of the world. It will take a miracle of yours to deliver them. And we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that the elect among them be delivered. We know that no one else can be saved, and that the Apostle Paul said he does all things for the elect's sake, because that's the people that can be saved. These are the people that bear fruit. No one else can be saved. It doesn't matter if they began with you, they won't finish with you. and they've fallen out or fallen away along the road and justified themselves rather than God and His Word. So therefore they decided, we just won't read the Word, we won't talk the Word, we won't think the Word. We feel more comfortable believing we're saved without the Word. Okay, so Father, we just ask for Your grace and Your mercy upon those that You knew from the foundation of the world. Now, the Apostle Paul, Lord, whom I bring up sometimes, because Paul was very factious against the Christians. Even though they were kind and loving, he was factious against them. They hadn't broken God's laws, but he was a very legalistic person, raised up as a Pharisee and ready to judge. And he did, until God knocked him down, blinded him, and sent a prophet to go and speak to him the word and give him back his sight. And he knew it was God. And so, Lord, Saul, who is called Paul, we just ask that You raise up some Pauls in the church who can go forth to the very people they once defended and tell the truth and knows all the tricks in the book of these people, everything that's wrong or that's apostate about their actions, he knows already. And so, Lord, raise up these people and send them forth to both witness to the world of the dangers of these people and to witness to these people that they need God. Thank You, Lord, for doing that. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, saints, go and be blessed. Be in prayer. Speak the words that are needed for the allies that are against the deep state to win the victory. Speak it. Call upon the Lord to send His man-child, because this is going to be what's going to tip everything in our favor. Thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.